Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, and welcome along to the latest episode of the Dublin to Denver podcast. I'm Colm Cronin, and delighted to be joined today by Stuart Roach.
Good evening, Colm. How are you? How are you doing on Sunday night?
Yeah, you would think, Stuart, after a Broncos win and the first win of the Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson era, that there would probably be more of a pep in our steps, but going into work on Monday, I was certainly mulling over that win. What are your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts, Colm, were that we skirted with disaster for quite some time on Sunday night against a bang average, and I think I'm being pretty kind there, Texans team, which in fairness, they play for Lovie Smith, which I think I mentioned last week. They do, but they don't have a great deal of talent on the team. Let's be brutally honest. They'll be firmly in the mix for top five draft pick, you would have thought. And I don't think Davis Mills, despite his very high completion rate, is going to be the quarterback for very much longer. I think we've been lucky in the two games. Well, not we weren't lucky against Geno Smith, but we discussed that at length. I think we were lucky that we were up against a quarterback that is as limited and ordinary as Davis Mills on Sunday, because I think another quarterback would have made us pay for an incredibly sloppy performance. And I think sloppy is the word that really encapsulates just the way the Broncos have played in the first two games. And it really did look at one stage like we were going to go 0-2. And I don't know about you, Colm, but you probably have seen the graphics that have been doing the rounds on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot for the last 24 hours. Teams that finish 0-2 last year, I think there was 8 of them. None of them made the playoffs. Now, I know it's very early in the season, but the reality is if you start off slowly in the NFL, realistically, if you get behind the eight ball, given the quality of the teams, and particularly the quality of the teams in our division, you're not making the playoffs. So we were damned close to a very, very poor start to the season. And I think the best you could take from it was we played badly and we won. We got on, we got out of there, and we're ready to go again now on Sunday night. But we need to improve vastly on pretty much every area of the team, bar the defense, which is playing really well at the moment, in fairness.
Yeah, certainly the defense has shown up, and particularly I think the front four have been very impressive. I do worry a little bit in terms of the quality of the offenses that we have had to face. I mean, we saw the reality of the Seahawks season on Sunday, right? They no offensive touchdown. They scored off a kick six, and they were absolutely beaten up by the San Francisco 49ers. And I heard Mace had a stat that said that this Texans team haven't had any touchdowns in 5 of their last 9 road games. So pleasing, certainly. And look, it's you know, when you change to a new coordinator, it often takes time for it to gel. So it's good that we had you know, a couple of games before we face a 49ers team who will probably be a more known quantity in some ways. I think obviously it's awful that Trey Lance got injured, and I was really interested just as an NFL fan to see what he could have done. Jimmy Garoppolo is a more known quantity in that respect, and they have a lot of talent there. But look, the reality is that Broncos fans have been crying out for decent offense for so many seasons now, and we seem unable to score enough points to truly compete in the current NFL. You know, when you see what the Lions are doing, when you see what the Bills were doing last night, when you see what the Eagles have done in terms of building around Jalen Hurts, what were your thoughts on the offensive struggles? Well, somewhat, like certainly in the passing game, right? I thought the running game was decent, particularly Javonte was very good when he had the ball. But what were your thoughts on the offense, Stuart?
I think, Colin, we were very, very lucky that Cortland Sutton was up against a rookie in Stingley. And I know Stingley was very, very highly regarded coming out of LSU. But as we know, and I think, you know, cornerback is a particularly difficult position to play as a rookie. I think that's what makes Pat Surtain's transition to the pros so smooth. It makes that so impressive, because Stingley is a really good player, but he was tortured by Cortland Sutton for most of the game on Sunday. And apart from Javonte, that was about it for the offense, it seemed, for long stretches of the game. I mean, the one thing I will say is the offense has looked fine for large parts of the game up until it gets into the red zone. And then it just seems like the Keystone Cops have arrived. It's incredible just how the lack of any kind of chemistry, the cohesion goes out the window. You know, you get to the stage and you're kind of going, are we sure that Russell Wilson's headset is working correctly? The delay of game stuff, I thought that was in large part against the Seahawks to do with the fact that it was the first time that Hackett and Wilson, because Hackett is calling the plays, was the first time Hackett and Wilson had played a game together. Also, I thought the incredible crowd noise from the Seahawks, to give them their due, I thought that impacted. I thought the delay of game stuff was going to be a thing of the past when it came to our first home game. It was almost as bad. I think we had 13 penalties. It seemed, again, like a huge amount of them were delay of game. A couple of false starts, just really sloppy football. And just, you know, I think Javonte has been the bright spark so far. You'd really sort of shudder to think where we'd be now if Javonte hadn't shown up for business quite the way he has so far this season. He's an amazing player. You know, he reminds me of Jonah Lomu, that great All Black rugby player who unfortunately died very young. And in that, it takes three or four guys to bring him down. One-on-one, you're not stopping Javonte Williams. He's shifty, he's powerful, he's got a great sidestep. He just refuses to go down. And he has been the spark that we've needed. I think Jerry Jeudy going down as early as he had, ironically, in a ball that he dropped, didn't help. Because I think Jeudy has looked sharp as well, to be fair. A player who really needed to step up this season if he was going to live up to his high draft pick status. I just can't get my head around how bad we are in the red zone column. I really can't. It's just beggars belief. The only thing I will say is it can't get any worse, to be honest with you. It can't. It really can't. There's famous last words, but I don't think how it can get worse. I think hopefully we will start to see some red zone touchdowns soon. Ironically, as I said, we're up against a infinitely superior Niners team than either of the sides that we played. I watched a bit of that Niners game, Colin, when it was a break. And they beat the Seahawks, it seemed like to me, largely in second gear. They played within themselves. They're a much more formidable opposition, even though Trey Lance is gone. But they'll give us plenty to think about. So we really have to work hard. I did like the fact that Hackett held his hands up and he said, yeah, a lot of this is on me. I thought that was a refreshing difference to the chap that we had last year at the helm. There was no way that Vic would have owned any of those issues. And I do think, I don't know if it's going to come this Sunday, but I do see a breakout game for the offense soon. I do. I think it's not like it's been an unmitigated disaster from start to finish. It's not like it's been the offenses we've seen over the last few years. I think a lot of that is to do with the fact that Russell Wilson is still an excellent quarterback. I would like us to get some of those injured players back soon. And I also think, Colm, and I'm going to hold my hands up here, I think I've been guilty, and I think Broncos fans have been guilty. I think you're sort of the voice of reason a lot of the time, certainly on this podcast, myself and Michael have a tendency to get carried away. I think we have all collectively overrated some of our players, I think, and I think we've overrated perhaps our chances this year. When you look at what the Bills and the Chiefs and teams like that are doing, particularly on offense at the moment, I think you see, even though we've gotten Russell Wilson, who is an excellent and quite clearly a franchise QB, we still have an awfully long way to go to come even close to matching those kind of teams. Like, did you watch? I didn't stay up, but I watched the 40-minute version of the Bills game. That's a good Tennessee Titans team, Colm. They just dispatched them the way a bully would, you know, a nine-year-old in short pants with his lunch money. They swatted them aside. So that's next level. I hope we get to the playoffs. I hope we're in the hunt. But, you know, this is year one, and it's going to take years two, three, maybe four, before we're really at that level of challenging for a Super Bowl. So I think, as I said, I certainly thought, you know, this season was going to be, I think it still can be, but I think we really need to get our act together pretty quickly, because the games become tougher from here on in. This was a nice, easy start. We've gone one-on-one. We've flirted with 0-2. We need to get motoring now fairly sharpish, or else the season can we don't want it to be a disappointment. I think a player like Wilson will prevent that, but we need to crank it up really quickly.
Yeah, and a couple of things that jump out to me on that is the Bills obviously are kind of the gold standard in the league right now. We don't know if they're going to win a Super Bowl because there's so much involved. But the thing about the Bills is the Bills, and this is where the Broncos have gone wrong, in that the Bills have a defensive-minded head coach, right, in Sean McDermott. But he has, you know, enable those around him to go about their jobs. So having a defensive-minded head coach doesn't necessarily mean that you will be defensive if he is prepared to not micromanage, if he is prepared to believe in others, if he has a real plan in terms of what he wants to do. I also think, look at, say, Brian, they lost Brian Daboll in the offseason and they didn't miss a beat. in their game last night, they were missing a number of players, and they lost more guys during the game, and they didn't miss a beat. So they really buy into the next man up mentality that is there, obviously helped by a superstar quarterback. But again, they put a plan around that quarterback the way in which we have seen the Eagles do. So that's one thing that jumps out to me. And yeah, the Broncos have been moving the ball quite well outside of the red zone, which is definitely encouraging. And if we can get out of our own way. But the biggest issue to me is the penalties. It is unbelievable. Through the end of the third quarter, we actually, through seven quarters of football, we had more penalties than points in the 2022 season, with 23 penalties at that point. We now have 25 penalties. Zach Seegers did some great work in terms of digging into it. We rank first in penalties, first in total flags, and in total yards. Through the first 2 weeks. Like, this is the issue, okay? You've got, sure, we understand we got to cut Hackett and the coaching staff a bit of slack and allow them time to get it right. But that is deeply concerning. Again, when you see, Dable's, and obviously, look, Dable has in Wink Martindale, he's a guy who's been around the league a long time. We've got an awful lot of greenhorns. But yeah, Hackett did put the hands up, but I just don't know if they're fully grasping, how serious fans think it is. You heard the fan reaction on Sunday, and I understand that, right? Because Denver, we've been awful on offense. Like, it has been us and the Jets and the Giants who've been so bad. And we were told, we're QB away, we're QB away. And I think it's the frustration on the penalties as much as anything. And when you see no punter on a punt return, and when you see third and one and giving it to Andrew Beck, who has had very good moments this year, but what are you doing in that sort of situation? And you decide,
particularly Colin, if you have a running back who is as effective as Javonte Williams, that's just smacks of cleverness for cleverness' sake. That makes, give him the ball. If they stop Javonte Williams on third and one, you hold your hands up and you go, fair enough, okay, we punt the ball. This trickery for the sake of trickery drives people mad, unless it comes off.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
A guy who was averaging more than 6 yards a carry at that time in the game. But to me, we have to clean up the penalties. We have to, especially like the play clock. I mean, that has been the talk of the league this week is, if you go outside of the Denver bubble, Denver are a laughing stock, and that is not where we want to be. And again, that there'll be another... there'll be somebody else next week, but you just don't want to, when the music stops playing, you don't want to be the one in the spotlight. I think there are a lot of encouraging factors, but we need to, because as you say, like the back half of the schedule is absolutely brutal, and coming up against a 49ers team who are formidable, that defense is serious business. And yes, DJ Jones has actually been really, really good for us, but again, they don't seem to have missed a beat in terms of kind of moving on there. I'm delighted we got him, don't get me wrong. But I suppose, Stuart, then looking ahead, like, to that 49ers game, and like, what would be the things that you are looking for from that game?
Well, Colin, the Niners are kind of similar, I think, to teams like the Steelers and the Ravens, in that they have genuinely created a culture of defense that sustained itself over the years. And as you said, they don't seem to miss a player. Obviously, that, you know, teams like that are going to have their star man, but they seem to put out consistently strong defenses. If we make, look, you're going to give away the odd penalty here or there, and then that's just life in the NFL. It's going to happen, you know. But if we make the kind of mistakes even close to the level and the volume of mistakes as we've made in regards to the penalties against the Niners, we're dead. You haven't a hope, because that defense is good enough anyway. And if you're backing yourself up into first and 15, first and 20, second and 12, it's impossible. You have to give yourself the opportunity to beat a good side. So you need to play clean football. It's going to be hard enough to beat these guys as it is. And if you help them, like I think it was yourself last week, Colin, you know, the surefire way to allow an inferior team to beat you is to keep helping them time and time again. At the moment, the quarterback situation is a little bit in flux. It's hard to know who the better team between the Broncos and the Niners are. The Niners were very poor on their opening day game against the Bears, who, you know, I think the Bears are also in the hunt for a top five pick next year. So it does happen. But I think the Niners that we saw against the Seahawks are more indicative of where the Niners are as an organization and as a team. So Jimmy Garoppolo is limited. However, he is still a decent quarterback who has helped this team get to a Super Bowl, which they probably should have won. Maybe if Jimmy's arm was stronger, they would have won it. And also he got them to the NFC Championship game as well. So this is a battle-hardened team. I think I know I might be guilty of it as well, but I think people tend to sleep on the Niners a little bit over the last few years, and I'm not sure why. So this is going to be a really tough game. And we cannot help the Niners in any way, shape, or form. Now, oddly enough, I think we're going to improve greatly in this game. I do. I think the fact that there's been so much national coverage of this, I think the Broncos are going to, they're not going to escape the fact that this has become almost a laughing stock. I think it will get cleaned up. I think it will get fixed. You might see Russell Wilson snapping the ball ridiculously early for the first quarter or two. You know, when the clock is on like 10 seconds, you might see Russell taking the snap. I don't mind that. You know, I think if that's how you need to get it fixed, then get it fixed. I think we'll bounce back, oddly, even though we won. I think we'll bounce back performance-wise. I'm not sure if we're good enough to win this game. And I think that's why something like the loss against the Seahawks is potentially damaging, because if you'd gone 2-0, then losing at home to the Niners, and if you perform well, it's not the end of the world, because this is a really top-tier NFL team. But the fact now that we did drop that Seahawks game really disappointingly means we kind of can't allow ourselves to, you know, I'm not sure who the Chiefs are playing this week, Colin, but they will probably win because they seem to be a machine. If we lose against the Niners, we're two games behind the Chiefs already. You know, that's not ideal territory to be in at all, because the Chiefs, you know, I don't think anyone's going 17-0. Everyone's going to drop games. But teams like the Chiefs and the Bills, they don't look like they're dropping many games at all this season, barring injury. So we need to run the ball. Our running backs are averaging, both of them, Melvin Gordon is averaging, I think he's close to 5. Javonte is over 6. I'm pretty sure Melvin is close to 5. Run the ball. And keep running the ball. Let it open up play action. Hopefully Jerry Jeudy will be back. I thought Courtland Sutton had a really good game. So keep feeding Courtland Sutton. If Russell Wilson is building up a connection with Courtland Sutton, keep going. There's very few cornerbacks that are going to blanket Sutton, so I think we'll keep utilizing him. The tight end situation, Colin, is is one that I think we flagged potentially in preseason. And I don't think we're any closer to getting any answers on that. I know Saubert had a nice catch, and he was well covered by the cornerback. He just out-muscled the guy. I'd like us to see to get the tight ends more involved. But then you see Albert O has a drop like he has the other night, and you're kind of going, well, can Russell Wilson trust him? You know, that's the thing. You gotta earn a quarterback's trust, you know. So I think this is going to be a tough game. I don't think there's going to be more than one score in it, but I think we're going to lose this one maybe by a field goal, something like 20-17, something like that. I think it'll be close enough. I think we will play better, but I think the Niners might just be that little bit better than we are at the moment, because they're a much more battle-hardened and experienced team than we are.
Yeah, I think a lot of truth in what you're saying. I did think there were some interesting, and it's difficult to read too much into any of the clips you see on Twitter, but in that week one loss to the Bears, Lance got flattened at one point, and neither McGlinchey nor Trent Williams helped him up. He had to pick himself up. Meanwhile, Jimmy G comes back in the other day, and they're all picking him up off the ground against the Seahawks. And Mike Silver, who's very, very well connected in San Francisco, did a couple of pieces over the summer where he talked about, he was the one who kind of talked about Jimmy training on his own and all that sort of stuff. He said that there were players and coaches who were privately saying that they think they'll be a better team. Now, I think that's awful that was their thoughts when their young QB has gone down, but it does tell you that there's a belief in that locker room in Jimmy G. The Broncos are going to face a serious test. It looks like George Kittle may be back. And while I'm not a man who knows a whole lot, if anything at all, about betting, very interesting that the Broncos opened up on Sunday in the immediate aftermath of the games as the favorites, and that line has changed considerably since then. Look, it's a home game for us, and I think Troy Renk was pointing out that if the Broncos are to go back to the playoffs, it's going to require winning home games. Prior to the victory on Sunday, since Super Bowl 50, we were 23-26 at home in the stadium, which has probably the, you know, amongst the best natural advantages in the NFL, which was a complete fortress during the Pat Bowlen era, and obviously we need to get back to that. It is undoubtedly going to be very tough against, as you said, a battle-hardened 49ers team, a team who I think Jimmy G, yeah, he might not, I don't think he's good enough to win them a Super Bowl, which is why I think they made the trade that they did. But is he good enough to get them to a championship game? Yeah, I think he certainly is. He's very efficient. And when you look at the guys that they have in terms of Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, I mean, they're the elite of the elite. They're guys who have done it in the league and shown that they're capable. So it's going to be a real challenge, I think, on Sunday, and we will be in the spotlight. It is Sunday night football, so all eyes will be on Denver, and it's going to, we're going to need to show up, and we're going to need to show that we have put those penalties and the clock management issues in the background, because we were breaking from huddle so late and guys were lining up almost incorrectly at times. So hopefully we can get that cleaned up. Stuart, I suppose, is there anything else? Is there any player in particular or anything that you, as a final kind of parting word that maybe has really impressed you thus far, or it's somebody that you would like to see a lot more of from over the course of the next couple of weeks?
I'm gonna cheat it slightly, Colin. I'm gonna pick two, because I thought they both showed up big time at the weekend against the Texans. Now, obviously, it's going to be a tougher task. against the Niners, because the Niners are much better, as we said. But I think Draymond Jones and Randy Gregory both had very good games at the weekend. Mills, who doesn't have an arm to speak of, does get the ball out very quickly. So I think it was a difficult assignment, but I thought Draymond Jones did give us that sort of Shangri-La of pass rush, which is interior pass rush, which, as we know, for those kind of quarterbacks that we face down the line, the mobile quarterbacks, the interior pass rush is really what you need. So hopefully we'll get more about from Draymond. Draymond, it seems, one of those guys who's been threatening to break out for years. He's a very good player, but I think a lot of the pressures haven't necessarily translated to sacks. So maybe this might be the year that does that. And I thought Randy Gregory had a quiet game against the Seahawks. He did force a fumble, so obviously that's an important, you know, that's a play that is going to show up on the stat sheet as an important one. But I thought he had a sack, he had a tackle for loss. I think Randy Gregory, to me, showed flashes at the weekend as to why he was given that big contract and as to why the Cowboys probably should have kept him and paid him, because pass rushers are players that you should never let go if you have one in the building. So I'd like to see the two of those guys go at it again. I'd like to see, you know, I think that, as I touched on at the start, Colm, I do think the defense is playing well. I thought Pat Surtain going down didn't hurt us as much as it might have done. Again, we're playing the Texans, so obviously it's not like we're going against the Chiefs or the Bills. But still, I thought Mattis played well. The rookie cornerback, he showed out well. So hopefully it'd be great to go through a game without a serious injury. I'd love to see the guys that did go down, like Surtain and Judy, who are day-to-day, come back. But Randy Gregory and Draymond Jones, hopefully Chubb as well. I'd like to see that pass rush really get after the Niners, because the one thing about Jimmy G is he is an accurate, albeit limited QB, but he's not mobile in any way, shape or form. So if you can collapse the pocket column, you can get him. And I think that could be a real key for us to win the game, because you have ruined my evening by telling me about George Kittle, a tight end who we effectively turned into a superstar a couple of years ago when he went for, what was it, 200 yards receiving. At that stage, I don't think anybody really knew who George Kittle was, but they certainly knew who he was after that game. And as we well know, tight end is a problem position for the Denver Broncos since as long as you or I started watching this wonderful sport of American football. So if Kittle is fit, you can be damn sure we're going to get heaps and heaps of George Kittle. So it'd be great to see if we actually have some kind of idea how to deal with that. I do like Evero. I think he's been a really interesting defensive play caller so far. I've liked what he's done. He does bring a lot more heat than we were used to last year. It doesn't look like he's going down the bend but don't break route. I think he's looks like he's willing to gamble, and he's much more aggressive. I like that. So hopefully we'll see more of that at the weekend. But it's going to be a really interesting. This is a good game, Colm. I think it's a positive sign that we are on Sunday Night Football. It means that there is an interest in us. So hopefully we won't blow that through, you know, play calling, delay of game, sort of all those nonsensical things. Let's go back to prime time later on again in the season with our heads held high. But I think this will be a good game either way. I think regardless of the outcome, I think it'll be a good, properly fought, decent Sunday Night Football game that we can hopefully look back on and I've watched with great excitement.
I'll leave you with maybe two facts, one of which I think may even ruin your evening further. It's the fact that the 49ers allowed two pressures all game against Seattle. So Evero and the defense can they do it? Yeah, the talent is there, certainly, but they're going to be up against it against a 49ers line that's seriously talented. So that should be a real battle to watch, okay? The 49ers O-line against the Broncos D-line, really, really fascinating. But, you know, hopefully this is the kind of, you want to challenge yourself against the best. Certainly we have that opportunity. If you're looking for hope amongst it all, it is the fact that our quarterback has won 17 of the previous 20 head-to-head games against the 49ers, which is a mind-blowing statistic when you consider that. But obviously the 49ers overcame that when they played the Seahawks at the weekend. Hopefully they will not overcome that against Russell Wilson and his new team in the Denver Broncos. I agree. It should be a fascinating matchup. This is what we wanted when we traded for Russell Wilson. You want to be going into these games. You want to see how your team can perform at the highest level. Want to thank everyone for listening. And, you know, we appreciate any reviews, ratings, subscribing. Thanks to everyone at Mile High Report. Stuart, thank you for joining me. Michael will be back with us in the very near future. Enjoy the game on Sunday and go Broncos.
Go Broncos.